All right, turn over to the book of John, and let's read the 8th chapter and the 21st verse. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me. I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. If you notice in the follow-up of the scripture that I just read, the Jews, they said, we are Abraham's seed. You know, there's one thing that I've learned about the church world. They're very religious. Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, whatever. They're just as religious as they can be. And when you go to preach to them or upbraid them or say something to them, the first thing they do is say, we're Abraham's seed. We're Baptists. We're Methodists. Our mother was a good Presbyterian. And you're no different in Jesus' day. When Jesus in the 31st verse was talking to them, they said, we are Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, you are the servants of sin. He said, ye are the father or the children of Satan, your father, the devil. And he upbraided them. They wanted a sign. They sought a sign. Always seeking a sign. But the Lord said, there'll be no sign given to you. No sign at all. Except the sign of Jonah the prophet that was in the belly of the whale. I'd like for you to really observe something here in these teachings. First of all, if you notice the term of speech that Jesus used, it is so different from the average man talking. That's why that I teach you the things that I teach you and try to expound to you the things that I expound to you. Because the Bible said concerning this man, said never man spake like this. He spake so different, Brother Hollis. He was so different. He talked so different, he acts so different, that there was no question as to whether he was different. He was very much different from the rest of the people. And yet he was so much like the people, in that he was made as a near kinsman. And if you notice the term of speech he uses here, when they try to commune with him, they try to talk to him on a man's level, he talks with them on the man's level, he communes with them on a man's level, and they know that he has to eat, he has to drink, he has to do the same thing that others have to do, and yet when they begin to talk to him, he talks so different, and it becomes real confusing to the carnal mind. But Jesus, in communing with them, notice how he addressed them. He said, ye are of this world. But he said, ye are, I am not of this world, ye are, but I'm from above. He said, you belong to this world. He said, but I don't belong to this world. He said, you're of the earth, you're earthy. He said, but I'm heavenly. I'm of heaven. I'm of that world, not of this world. Is that right? He said, my kingdom is not of this world.
For he said, if my kingdom was of this world, he said, my servants would fight. They'd join themselves together like Peter wanted to do with the sword. And they'd make war and they'd wage war. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now that makes me to know something. If God's kingdom is not of this world, then whose kingdom is it? Whose kingdom is it? If this is not God's system out here with the law, not God's system out here in the presidency, if it's not God's system out here in the army and out here in the schools and out here in the hospitals, then whose system is it? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But he said, the prince of this world cometh, but said, me and him don't have any fellowship. Said, he don't have anything in me. He said, Satan is the prince of this world. He said, and you're children of the devil. And said, you're from down here. And Satan loves the things of the world. He said, and you love the things of the world. Because you've got the same mind he's got. You've got the carnal mind. You've got the beast mind. And you feed off of the things of the world. He said, and your fruits are all withered up. And you yourself dead, twice dead, and plucked up by the root. Now, a lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, Jesus could do that. Because he was Jesus. But don't you see, the very purpose and plan of God was not to put a Jesus down here in the world, but rather to turn you into a Jesus. Because there's always been a Jesus before the world ever was. Somebody said, well, there was no Jesus until he was born of woman. But the Bible said the Jesus that I'm talking about was slain before the foundation of the world. If there was no Jesus until he was born of a woman, how did God slay the Lamb before the foundation of the world? Always been a Jesus, always been God. In the beginning was God, and that God was Jesus. Oh, now somebody said, Brother Pike, you're absurd. No. Jesus said, I come in the name of my Father, and before the world ever was, he said his name was Jesus. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Is that right? And his name shall be called Everlasting Father. For in the beginning was Father Jesus. Is that right? Which was God, the eternal Spirit. He was in the beginning. He was manifested in a human body that the world might see and understand what he was to be like. That he might atone for our sins and show his love and his kindness to us. That Jesus. Is that right? So then there's always been a Jesus. But what God is trying to do is to make us into Jesus. He never manifested Jesus so that we could know there was a Jesus, but rather to make us to know that we could be Jesus. We could be the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we could be God manifested in the flesh. Always God was from everlasting to everlasting. Before the world ever was, he said, I am. He was the all-existent one. Is that right? The eternal spirit. Everything exists is by him. He's like the great sunlight. The earth would freeze over. Everything would die without the sun, according to science. So then, when I tell you what Jesus was, when I preach to you what Jesus did, and I tell you how Jesus taught, I'm not just trying to tell you about Jesus. I'm trying to tell you what God did for humanity. That God wants you to think like that. And wants you to talk like that. And wants you to be like that. That's Jesus. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, he could say that I'm from above and you're from beneath. But did you know that I can say that too? Somebody said, well, you can't say it without Scripture substantiation. I've never tried to say anything unless I substantiate it by the Scripture. But the Scripture said, ye are not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. If God has chosen me out of this world, then I can say it's Jesus. I am not from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm from above. I'm from above. I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. From dust ye came, to dust thou shalt return. I shall not return to dust. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you came from the dust, you'll return to the dust. I won't return to the dust. I didn't come from the dust. I came from the Spirit. I came from my Father. I go back to my Father. Jesus said, you seek me, and you won't be able to find me. You'll say, where is he at? It said, you won't be able to find me. Because where I am, you can't come. Now, if you're the members of the body of Jesus, you can come. If you're Christians, you can come. He turned to his disciples. And though he told the world they couldn't come, he turned to his disciples, them that have the understanding, and told them they could come. For Philip said, Lord, said, where are you going? Where are you going to be at? He told him. But Philip said, I don't know the way, Lord. If you leave me here, I don't know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. I'm the door. The sheepfold go in by me. He said, Philip, you're looking at the way. You're looking at the way. How can we know the way? He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. To know that though Jesus, the human body that we knew as the Son of Man, has went away, yet he said, I'll come back to you. And even though he's gone away, yet he still hasn't gone away. And even though he's not here, yet he is here. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you can't talk like that. That's crazy. No. Paul said, I'm absent and I'm present. Is that right? You didn't know a fellow could be absent and still be present? Sure he can. Paul said, though I be absent in body, yet I'm present in spirit. And though Jesus is absent in body, yet he's present in spirit. Though today I'm absent in body, I'm still present in spirit. Somebody would say, well, how are you absent in body? Because I was crucified at Calvary and they buried me. And I went down in a watery grave. And I've been buried there. And I'm hid with Christ in God and you can't find me anymore. Somebody said, but I see, there you are. There you are, flesh and bones. But the Bible said that I'm a quickening spirit. Is that right? But you say, I see his flesh and bones, but the Bible said I'm hidden God. You can't see me. But say, I know that you're flesh and bone, but the Bible said you're not to know a man like that. So see, you say, well, what are you trying to tell me? I'm telling you, you just got a strong delusion. You're seeing mirages. You got lost in a wilderness. You've overdone it somewhere in sin. You can't see right. Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you don't hear. I said, well, Brother Pike, if I had eyes to see, what would I see? A son of God. Not a mortal man, not a beast, but a son of God. Hallelujah. So then we have the right to become what he is. For the Bible tells us that we are complete in him. I'm not complete within my own self. Neither can I do anything of myself. But whatever the Father does, I do those things. Always the things that please the Father. This is what Jesus said. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he lived in the heart of Paul said, striving always to keep a conscience void of offense toward man and God, being complete in the Lord. I'm complete in the Lord. I am weak as a man, but I am strong as Christ. I'm a failure as a man, but I am perfect in the Lord. I am full of evil and wretched and blind, miserable. But in Christ I am without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, and not one of you can lay anything to my charge. I am God's elect. And though I do everything I can to stand here in the natural, when I can't stand, I stand anyway. Because when my strength fails, his is sufficient. Though I be weak, yet am I strong, Paul said. So whatever he is, That's what I am. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you believe that you're as good as Jesus? The Bible said, no man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. Now you say, well, you're saying you're perfect. I'm telling you what he said about me. He said I was perfect. And nobody could lay anything to my charge. Says he's perfected me forever. Not only that, but he said that I was glorified. Not only that, but he said, I'm hid to where you can't see me because he translated me into the kingdom. So then whatever Jesus is, that's what we are. What is the rapture? What is the rapture? The rapture is becoming what he is. The rapture is realizing that you are complete in him, but not within yourselves. The Jews missed it. They didn't understand it because the Bible said they sought it as though it was by works. They fasted, they prayed, they done everything. They give alms, but they still didn't make it in. When God got ready to take somebody, he picked up a bunch of Gentiles that knew nothing about God and said, I'll provoke you to jealousy with the people that's no people. He picked up a Gentile people that never even sought after God. The Bible said, as it is written, I was found of them that never sought me. Now, why did he do that? Because the Jews said, Lord, we've sought you. We've fasted. We've prayed. The church world says, we've sought you. We've fasted. We've prayed. God, you belong to us. But see, when they do that, they break the Scripture. Because the Bible said, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. And the Scripture said, you've not sought me, but I sought you. So then to substantiate the Scriptures, he went among the Gentiles that did not say that they'd sought God. And he said, I found of them that sought me not. Is that right? In other words, I made myself known to them. They didn't make themselves known to me, but I made myself known to them. I came to you. You didn't come to me. So God, not willing that any scripture should fall to the ground, not willing that any scripture should be broken, he confounded the Jews. They'd done every religious thing that they knew. And still, God rejected them and turned them aside, wouldn't receive them, and wouldn't have them. Is that right? But those that sought him not, those that did not fast, those that did not pray, those that had never done anything, those that the Bible said was harlots and drunkards, Jesus said, they go into the kingdom before you do. For he said, they'll come from the east and they'll come from the west. And they shall be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And you yourself shall be cast into the outer darkness. And there shall be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because the scriptures cannot be broken. They cannot be broken. God is not looking for somebody that's full of ritualistics. I believe in praying, and I do pray. And I'd feel in a backslidden condition as far as my human feelings if I didn't pray. But my praying does not save me. I fast. I believe in fasting. The Bible said the minister should fast often. But none of my fasting can do me any good because I'm not saved by fasting. I try to give to God. I try to come to church. I try to attend regular, whether I'm preaching or not preaching. But none of that can save me. I'm saved by the grace of God. It's by His grace that I'm saved. And yet I do the works because the child is known by his doings. I do the works not that I might be saved by works, but I do the works as a proof of Him that is within me, that it's my nature. My nature is to do His will and His desire because I'm born of His Spirit. A tree puts forth fruit according to the nature. It's my nature to want to do right. It's my nature to want to praise God. It's my nature to want to come to church. It's my nature to want to pray, want to fast, want to study, understand God, and try to help those that are lost and undone. I don't have to make myself. I've heard people say I have to drive myself to do it. I don't have to drive myself to do it. The love of God constraineth me. There's a burning zeal within my heart for me to come to church. If you have to drive yourself to come to church, you need to be born again. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. The love of God constrained me. The Bible said Jesus' nature was to be there regular. If you have to drive yourself to do anything for God, you're in a backslidden condition, or else you need to be born again. There's nothing sweeter than serving God. There's nothing sweeter to me than serving Jesus Christ. It's a joy. It's unspeakable. It's full of glory. I find joy in coming to the house of God. I find joy in reading my Bible. I find joy in getting on my knees to pray. I find joy in fasting and abstaining from food for Christ's sake. I find joy in trying to do something for the church and for the widow, for the orphan, for the needy. I find joy in taking the responsibility that God has laid upon my shoulders for His kingdom's sake. I find joy in doing it. It's a great joy to me to do it. The love of God constraineth me. It's a great joy. I find joy in trying to keep my tongue from backbiting. I find joy in denying myself and swearing to my own hurt. I find joy in trying to be an example to those that are out in the world, not only to the Christians, but those that are brute beasts out yonder, to where they can't have any evil thing to say. I find joy in letting my light so shine that men might see the good works and glorify the Father in heaven. I find joy in doing it. A lot of times, things might not go our way. It's like Brother Branham said one time, his wife said, Billy, you think you know everything. He said, no, I don't feel like that. He could have said, I don't think that I know that. He could have just said, wife, I don't think I know everything. I know that I know everything. Because the Bible said, I got an unction from the Holy One to know all things. But he didn't do that. He tried to speak to her, as Paul said, after the manner of men because of the infirmities of the flesh. To answer, a lot of times when you're talking to me, I answer you according to the infirmities of men, after the manner of men, because I know that I'm dealing with a man. And I answer you accordingly. I do my wife and children that way. But Jesus said, I would like to speak unto you as spirituals. I'd rather answer you not after the manner of men, but I'd rather answer you after the manner of God. Because that's what God wants to do. God wants to speak to you as gods. He'd like to commune with you on a level of one God talking to another God. That's what he'd like to do. He said, well, Brother Pike, what does that have to do with you? Well, I'd like for this God to be able to talk to that God too. I'd like to commune with you on the basis of godliness. Speak unto your spirituals. He said, seeing that you're bathed in Christ, Jesus said, our communication has to be after the manner of men. And Paul said, I have to speak to you after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. But God doesn't want it like that. If I can find one man that's spiritual, I talk with him. But let me tell you, if I have to have somebody that every time somebody looks at them, they frown up, they resent, just like a baby in a cradle. You have to change your diaper every few minutes. And that's all right. A good mother don't mind doing that. But sometimes they need some kind of correction. They need a good dose of medicine. Sometimes they need a good spanking. I know sometimes they need care. You understand what I'm saying? Every time somebody comes around, they say, my neighbor hurt my feelings. I feel so grieved because brother so-and-so hurt me. Now, can't you just picture Jesus doing that? Can't you just picture him hanging on the cross and saying, oh, my God, I feel so grieved because Peter mistreated me. Them people out there put the spear in my side. Lord, frown on them. I feel so bad because of what they did to me. Can't you just picture that? Somebody said, well, that was God. That was Jesus. Well, that's what I'm talking about. His bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can't you just picture every time somebody says something wrong, there's a big rigmarole about it, you know, among the disciples. And they just have it out with each other, you know, because somebody said something they didn't like or they thought discredited them. My brothers and sisters, if I'd have quit because somebody discredited me, I'd never preach the first sermon. Never. They discredited me before I ever got started. I'd never try to carry on any responsibility because they discredit me. Businessmen do it. My own loved ones have done it to me. Because a lot of times I'm without honor. A husband should never be without honor in the presence of his wife. Never. The Bible said, honor thy husband. Not only that, somebody said, reverend so-and-so. The Bible said, wife, you treat him as reverent. He's your reverent. Is that right? A woman talking to me over the telephone the other day, and she said, Mr. Pike, Reverend Pike. And I thought, strain it a net and swallow a camel. Reverend. See, she didn't know. She thought I'd went to some college and earned a PhD, and I'm supposed to be doctor now, you know. Well, she'd have never dreamed of saying reverend if she didn't think that. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Men measure themselves by each other with degrees, PhDs. One dog saying to another dog, let me measure and see what kind of collar I want to put on you so we can be buddies. Bible said, how can you have honor of God when you seek honor one of another? People complaining, saying you hurt my feelings, and you're supposed to be a Christian. Some of you pine like a bunch of babies, talking about being a Christian. And somebody hurt my feelings. My husband hurt my feelings. My wife hurt my feelings. My children hurt my feelings. My neighbor hurt my feelings. The man that I deal with. Uptown, he hurt my feelings. Well, there's one answer to your problems. You need to get rid of your feelings. And you know the way to do that is to be crucified with Christ at Calvary, buried in a watery grave, come up as that that don't have any feelings that the earth can hurt. You say, what do you mean? Jesus said, touch me not. You can't get close to me. We can't be touched at all with the flesh. You can't touch me. You can't even find me to touch me. You can't even see me, let alone touch me. You can't find me. You can't touch me. There's no way you can touch me because I'm in heaven. I'm born of the Spirit, been translated into the kingdom of God. You can't touch me. You can't spot me. You can't find a blemish because the Bible said God's coming back after church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Somebody will say, Brother Pike, that's talking about your spiritual man. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's not it at all. The church is not referred to as a spiritual man. That's Christ on the inside. That's the man-child being born. The church is always the woman. That's the carrier. That's the womb. That's the body. He said that this is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. There's no charge against my mortal body. It's gone. You can't touch me. You can't lay one thing to the charge of my mortal body. You say, well, I believe that. Then why do you complain about your neighbor? Somebody says, well, I don't believe they got it. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be the one that hasn't got it and that you keep looking at them, as I say so often, through dirty windows? It just might be that you're not the one that's got it, that you're in the carnal mind and you're just a religious fanatic, as the world calls it, and you've never really been born again or filled with the Holy Ghost. It could be you that's the troublemaker. There's a good possibility that it is. As a matter of fact, if you're the one that's doing the talking, you are the troublemaker. That's right. The Bible said, be quick to hear and slow to speak. And when you speak, you're supposed to speak as the oracle of God, like I'm speaking right now. I say that to him, the devil, up. I know which way he goes. So then, what is it? If you've got your feelings, and every time somebody does something, you got to get on the phone, you got to tell somebody, and most likely you're a hypocrite, and you'll tell everybody but the person that done it. I said, most likely you're a hypocrite, and you'll tell everybody but the person that you feel that done it. What is it? Alive in the flesh, dead in the spirit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots, sons of Satan to cause trouble and division. Them kind of things cause trouble. You try to get your little family together. Try to do something for God. Hold all the young'uns together and the wife together, spiritually speaking. Get all of them together. But then there's always the sore thumb. There ain't nothing you can do to please them. I don't care what you do. It won't never do any good. You can pet them, you can love them, you can talk to them, you can woo them, you can cook, but they got their feelings on the shoulder, and they're half in and half out, and they're always upset with somebody. You need salvation, that's what you need. You need salvation. People like that need salvation. People that sit around and talk about what people have done to them, they need to get born again. You ought not to let your mind be cluttered up with those kind of things. You're supposed to meditate in the laws of God day and night. Every thought's supposed to be brought into subjection to Christ. You're not supposed to have any thoughts against your fellow man or find fault with your fellow man. It's positive proof you've never been born again. The man of God meditates in the laws of God day and night. It doesn't say that you're just supposed to, but it says he that's born of Spirit, he does meditate in the laws of God day and night, continually talking about God. Thinking about God. You don't have any time for anything else. I don't care what I do, I've got Jesus in mind. If I reprove one of my spiritual children, I got Jesus in mind. If I reprove my wife, I've got Jesus in mind. If I reprove my children, I've got Jesus in mind. I weigh and consider and think of Christ and where He's involved in what I'm doing and where He's involved in what I'm saying before I ever do a thing. And then I say it. Sometimes I think for hours on it and days. And then I say it. If you've got an old hard spirit, bless God, I'm as good as you are. You need to get born again. You are wretched and blind and naked and don't know it. And I'm telling you, now you do know it. If you're not soft and gentle and absolvent toward God, if you can't absolve the love of the fellow man and have union and strive to keep the unity of the Spirit and come together, then you're a bastard child. You're not of His kingdom. You're a thorn, and He'll pluck you out of His kingdom. If you can't forget about mother, daddy, wife, children, substance, all that you've got, relatives, then you need to be born again. You need to be born again. If you can't look at that wife and forsake her for Jesus, you need to be born again. If you can't look at that old frame of mind you've got and forsake it for Jesus, you need to be born again. If you can't forsake your house and land, whatever you got for Christ, you need to be born again. If you can't forsake mother and daddy, you need to be born again. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you really believe that? I'm telling you the truth. You need to be born again. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you've got the nature of Jesus Christ, they came to Him and said, your mother wants to see you, and your brothers want to see you. He said, I don't have any brothers except the church family. I don't have any mother except the church. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? Who is my sister? Said, these that do the will of my Father. He said, this is my family. In other words, tell them to come on in like the rest of them and sit down. I got one family, and that's the family of God. They can be part of it if they want to. They can be my brothers and sisters. Otherwise, they're just like anybody else. And when you think of your mother, something special to set her aside, you need to be born again. When you think of your daddy, something special to set her aside, of your children, of your wife, husband, any of it, you need to be born again. Because you're knowing people after the flesh. You say, don't you think I ought to love my wife? I'm speaking of the kingdom of God. I'm speaking spiritually, the kingdom of God. You ought to love your wife, you ought to love your children. But I've got people in this audience right now that you love your wife and husband and children and mother and daddy so much you've just let God's kingdom go down the drain. You've got your mind so much on your relatives and that you've let them live like the devil and not reprove them. And because of that, some of you went right along with them and cut the corners and got in the same mud hole with them, and you got the mud all over you too. I know you don't like that, but I'm supposed to tell you. That's what I'm here for. You just like the idea if I just brush the mud off of you every Sunday morning, you know, get you real clean and make you feel clean like the rest of them, and then you go back to your slop hole after service and get in it again, I'd brush the mud off. But I'm here to tell you that if you're in the slop hole, you're a pig. Pigs go to the slop hole. That's good old countryfied talk. It's not hard to understand. John said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. I never forget when I got up in Anaheim, California to preach the message of the full gospel businessmen. When I tried to get a polished sermon, I tried to do the best I could. I thought, well, these men are businessmen. They won't understand nothing spiritual. I try to talk to them the best I know how to talk to them. And the Lord said, there's one thing that'll do, and that's the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, but when I got up there to preach, everything went blank. I couldn't get nothing, but the axe is laid to the root of the tree. When I got through preaching, my wife, the best I remember, was on her face crying. The president's wife was down on her face crying. And the people were all broken up because the axe was laid to the root of the tree. And I'll be honest with you, then I didn't understand how much God had laid the axe to the root of the tree of the full gospel businessmen. I had a feeling that God was cutting the tree down then. And brother, he's cut it down. Somebody said, oh, the full gospel businessman is the best thing that ever happened to us. The full gospel businessman is the thing that's going to bring on Antichrist. It's the thing that's going to turn the world into the Pentecostal move. It's the thing that's going to make allowance for every sloppy mess there is by telling people that if they speak in tongues, that they've got the Holy Ghost. I've seen Baptist people painted up like a bunch of Jezebels. Rings hanging in their ears and everything else. Bebop skirts on, shouting and speaking in tongues. There ain't a bit of God in it. That's why God said the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Oral Roberts, a great man, one time in his life, and I hope God will pull him out of the mess he's gotten in. Shakarin, a great man, hope God will get him out of the mess he's gotten into. A lot of the other great men, Billy Graham, a great man, hope God will get him out of the mess he's gotten into. Men got to where they believe you can do anything. You can wear shorts, you can go to the movies, you can drink a little booze, you can have the men that come, go down and get the pigs out of the slop hole and put them on television, so that they can perform for the people and tell them that they love God and that Jesus is with them. The Bible said the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And that's what John came preaching. God said the fruit's no good, I'll cut the whole thing down. Somebody said, well, how did John have the authority to do that? Because he was introducing the tree of life. The law and the prophets were to John, but he introduced the tree of life. He was going to cut the old tree of knowledge down and cause death. He said, I'm going to lay the axe to it, and he did. All of her limbs withered up. I think it's time, folks, that we got out of our own carnal mind that's enmity with God and quit living like a bunch of babies. Quit worrying about somebody hurting our feelings, somebody mistreating us, somebody didn't treat us right. It's time we got away from that. If you are a man of God or a woman of God, act like it. You ought to be changing somebody's diaper instead of somebody having to change your diaper. I have these fellas walk around and stick their chest out, you know, talk to me, and when they talk to me, they talk to me just like they're some great, powerful leader. And it won't be 15 minutes before I'll have to change their diaper. It's no wonder they get the rest of them in such a mess. They come around where you're at. And they'd have you to believe that they were such and such. And they'll get four or five of the little ones off over here. And Junior will say, listen to me. That's the way he'll do, you know. Listen to me. I'm 13 years old. Listen to me. And Daddy don't know what he's talking about. You just come on with me. Say, where are you going? I got some rabbit tobacco. We're heading for the barn. You say, how do you know? Because I've done it. I've done it. I can remember when I was little, I get the rabbit tobacco and head for the barn. Somebody said, that ain't funny, but somebody laughed. It must have been. I'm not trying to be funny. Paul said, bear with me a little in my folly. I'm trying to get something over to you. I'm trying to get you to see something. Somebody say, silly thing. That's exactly what I'm saying, silly thing, running off with rabbit tobacco. Think you're something when you're nothing. Think you know something when you don't know something that you ought to know. Any time that you complain about your feelings, somebody hurting you, and go around with a long face saying, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't pay my bills, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Don't you know that you're not grown up in God? Paul said, I can do this, and I can do that. Through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. Somebody said, I don't know this, and I don't know that. And Paul said, I got an unction from the Holy One, I know all things. Somebody said, I just can't live an overcoming life. I'm just struggling. I can't hardly make it. It's so hard when the Bible said serving God's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And the way of the transgressor is hard. If you're having a hard time, you're transgressing the laws of God. You wives, it's always having such a hard time. Why do you blame your husband with it? The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. You're to blame. And husbands that have a hard time, why do you blame the wife with it? Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. You're the one to blame. There's nobody bothered you. Somebody said, my neighbor, my husband, my wife. There's nobody bothered you. You bother yourself. You trouble your own self. I have a happy life. Me and Jesus gets along good. I don't get along too good with the folks, but me and Jesus gets along real good. That's right. We don't have any crosswords at all. Not any. If he says you're no good, I say amen. Glory to God. You're right. Couldn't be wrong. He says, you need to straighten up. I say, yes, sir. Praise God. I know you're right. No doubt about it. Say, wife, you need to straighten up. Who do you think you are? As good as you are. You don't honor the reverence. Is that right? Couldn't you just picture you being a woman talking back to God? When God says, woman, straighten up, you say, who do you think you are? I'm as good as you are. Somebody said, but now wait just a minute, Brother Pike. We're talking about God and man. And here on the other hand, you're talking about woman and man. No, that wasn't it at all. You misunderstood what I said. I was talking about God and man and woman and sons of God. That's what it's talking about. A lot of difference. He said, well, I'm married to a man. Well, if you are, he's a brute beast. You're doing the same thing Eve done in the garden. You need to get away from him. You say, but I'm bound to him. But the Bible said that a sister or brother is not under bondage in such cases, being an unbeliever. God didn't bind light to darkness. That was your own choice. You love the Lord? So then it's not hard to understand what we're saying if you listen at it with ears to hear and eyes to see. But you know what? If I come in here preaching revelation, hallelujah, glory to God, somebody said. If I come in here preaching the gospel and telling you to straighten up your crooked ways, no hallelujahs, no glory to God, just sit there. If you had what you think you've got and what you'd like for me to believe that you've got, when I said straighten up your crooked ways, you'd do just like I do to God. You'd say, hallelujah, amen, Brother Pike, it's true. Instead of frowning up like the woman does, you know. Who does he think he is? I'm nothing but the preacher. So, well, what power and authority do you think you've got? Nothing but to send you to hell or heaven. That's all. You say, the husband. Husband, why should I obey the husband, the wife said. What? In other words, is he any better than I am? Both of you saved by grace, but the only thing is, you need his power on your head so you won't go to hell. He's just your husband. He can send you to hell or heaven. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. Yes, I do believe that. It's what the Bible said. You're to honor, reverence, obey your husband in all things. And if you do, you'll be saved in childbearing. Somebody said, well, what if I ain't got a husband? If you're old enough to have a husband, you've got a husband. God said, I'll be a husband to the widow. If you're an orphan, he said, I'll be a father to the orphan. That means the orphan's got to obey somebody. There's still an authority. There's still power. If you're married to a husband, then you're one with him. You're married to him. You're supposed to honor, reverence, and obey. And if that man loves you If he's a Christian and you believe that he's a Christian, I don't care if he's got faults. I don't care if he stumbles. God don't charge none of them against him. Some might say, well, now, if God doesn't charge anything against him, then why does he charge against the woman? He doesn't the woman either, unless the husband substantiates it. Or you say, well, that puts us under bondage. No, it doesn't. It puts you under the Word of God. Just like I'm under the Word of God to my husband, you're under the Word of God to your husband. I have to honor, reverence, and obey him in all things. And you being a type of the church, God ordained that the man be the Son of God, and you to honor, obey him in all things, and thus you become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Otherwise, as I said the other night, you're not even in the original creation with God. That's the only place you have in the original creation. When God originally made man, when he originally made man and spoke the trees into existence, the woman was not brought into the creation at all. He never spoke a woman into existence by the Word. She wasn't made by the Word at all, except in the man. The feminine part of the man. And if she comes out of the man and separates herself and loses her identity, as I said the other night, she is no longer in the original creation. She is a byproduct. She goes over here to the beast. She takes another head as the beast, and she becomes the body of the beast, and the temple is defiled. God destroys it. She's no more. That's the way a human being is. If he cuts himself off from God, he's nothing but a worthless woman. You love the Lord? All right, let's stand together. You know, they love to corner me off when I preach, say something about sin. They love to corner me off and come to me. And they think when they come to me, I'm going to cut the corners and run around the corners. But some of them gets the shock of their life. I'll try to spare them as much as I can. But if they get smart and come to me, if you don't think I can look you straight in the white of your eye and tell you that you're a hypocrite like Jesus did, you just come over and see. I'll do everything I can to love you and be kind to you. But if you want to be smart, you come and be smart. I know the street you live on, and I don't mind telling you what the number is. It's 666. Amen. Praise God. You love the Lord? Let's everybody sing a little chorus together. I want to say again, I appreciate our brother Hollis. I thank God for him being here with us. I appreciate the saxophone. He played it the other night beautifully, and he didn't play it in a lot of rock and roll. He played it, looked to me like, with a conscientious heart. I saw in a vision last night as I started to tell the early part of the service, Brother Raph and Cindy were singing together, and they were singing the most beautiful song. I thought it was so beautiful. And I thought, while we were together, we had the Lordsmans around. I hope we got some Lordsmans here this morning. There's a quartet called the Lordsmans, and we had the Lordsmans quartet with us. Let's sing a little chorus together. Fill my way with love. As I walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that home up above, while spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone, fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll journey no more, but I'll rest in my home above. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to that shore. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with God's love. As
my walk with the heaven leader. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
You know, God is really doing something. Brother Gary's vision, he said he spoke up. No, said I spoke up when the Spirit of God fell and said, well, at last, you folks are realizing that God's doing something. But I was thinking of what somebody told me recently. They got a Baptist preacher that believes in speaking in tongues, believes in praying for the sick up at the church over in Rockdale. I want to show you something. People say, bless God, we're Baptists just like you. Just as good as you. We got just as much God as you have. Somebody said, I don't like that, but I've already said it. The Methodists say the same thing. But I noticed when they got a preacher that believed in speaking in tongues, believed in the infilling of the Spirit, believed in praying for the sick, they said 12 families left the church. They got it, haven't they? They got it all right. They got it. They got it. They're filled with the devil. That's what's wrong with them. I said they're filled with the devil. That's what's wrong with them. What they need to do is to get it. And the Bible said get it like the Bible reads. You say you believe the Baptist people are filled with the devil? Everyone that ain't got God. The Methodists too. The Pentecostals too. You love the Lord? People that say their Jesus name too. Every one of them that ain't got God's filled with the devil. That takes in the UPC and all of them. The non-denominationals too. That takes in Love's Tabernacle too. God's good, ain't he? I saw a revival break out among the Baptist people. Looks like it's going to break out if they have to lose 12 families out of each church. Looks like God's going to bring it to pass. You know what it is? It's Satan being cast out of heaven. They've been covered up with a religious disguise. God's going to cast them out, so the third part of them went out. God's going to get rid of them. And them true saints of God, God's going to bring them into the real message of God. Somebody say, you mean make good Baptists out of them? No, make good Christians out of them. Somebody said, well, I thought you meant make good Pentecostals out of them. I'm not Pentecostal, I'm a Christian. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean you're not Pentecostal? I'm a Christian. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where they said, here comes the Pentecostals. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where they did that. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it said it called them the Pentecostals. The Bible said at Antioch they were first called Christians. That's the trouble now. Some of the Pentecostals got vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds and got the idea that they've taken the world for Christ. And some of them have made a bunch of reprobates a twofold more the child of hell than he was if they left them alone. You can't teach them the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You can't teach them baptism in Jesus' name. Because they taught them you don't have to be baptized. Don't make any difference, they said. Is that right? Taught them they don't have to have the Holy Ghost. They say if you want to get the Holy Ghost, we think you ought to have it, but you don't have to have it. After all, if you believe, you'll go to heaven. That's not Bible. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you'll go to hell. There won't be one person in heaven that ever believed that didn't have the Holy Ghost. Not one. Somebody said, well, what about Father Abraham? Father Abraham went down to the heart of the earth and waited till after Pentecost came, waited till after Calvary, that the Holy Ghost might go down there and might receive the Holy Ghost because of the seal of his faith to come up and dwell in heaven. Somebody said, all them folks that died back yonder without the Holy Ghost in the old Bible, you mean to tell me there's lost? Yes, sir.
You mean to tell me that Abraham, Isaac? No. You said all them people that died without the Holy Ghost. Them folks didn't go without the Holy Ghost. You say, but they died without the Holy Ghost. Jesus said they went to sleep. The world said died into faith, not having received what? Somebody tell me, you Bible scholars. The Bible said these without us could not be made perfect. These all died in the faith, not having received. And God said to Abraham the promise, which was the Holy Ghost. And Peter on the day of Pentecost said, this is the promise. Is that right?